Hello?
Oh, yep, that's fine. Oops. All right. So, hi, everyone. I am, can you hear me okay? All right, I'm going to talk fast. All right, I'll go. So I'm here to tell you all about how to get your feet wet in an open source project. A little bit about that kind of stuff. I'm Angie Byron, or Webchick, on Drupal.org or Twitter or any of those other kind of things, except Gmail. I don't know who Webchick at Gmail is, but she gets a lot of really confusing emails she doesn't understand. So who the heck am I? This is the boring stuff. Just a little bit of my background. I'm a huge geek. I first installed Linux back in 1995 when Debian fit on 7 floppy disks. That was awesome. Awesome times. I'm fiercely passionate about open source. I think that open source is game-changing. I think that it's a tremendous boon to humanity, the fact that this sort of advanced technology is available to anybody at no cost and for them to learn from and modify to fit their needs and everything else. I read everything there was to know about open source hacker culture. I was really into, you know, 2600 Magazine, all these kinds of things. I read all the mailing lists for the Linux project, all this kind of stuff. You know, I advocated open source to all my friends and colleagues really obnoxiously, like, you know, like I was that annoying person that was like, we should learn PHP if we're going to learn ASP and, you know, this kind of stuff. Yet, my first contribution to an open source project was in 2005, which was a decade after my obsession with open source began. So I was like the prototypical, like, open source geek, fanboy, whatever you want to call it. And I thought for the longest time that I wasn't good enough to be part of that space. So my goal is really simple. Oh, and I work with Drupal. My goal is really simple. I want to make sure that that is not anyone else's story ever again. Yeah. The good news is it all worked out okay. So, you know, now that I got involved, I'm, you know, very involved and I'm sort of making up for lost time. So I'm very involved in the Drupal project. I got my start in Drupal as a Google Summer of Code student. And Google Summer of Code was very fundamentally game-changing for me because it sort of knocked a hole in that wall that I perceived there was, and it sort of said, you know, hey, you don't have to know everything to get involved in open source because these are just students, right? So I figured, okay, well, maybe this is my in. And, you know, when I got on the other side of this, I was like, oh, my goodness, why didn't I do this 10 years ago? So anyway, that's what this talk is about. So I want to start with some Mythbusters because these were things that kept me out of open source, and they may be keeping some of you out of open source as well. The first is, what is a contributor? How many people think, when they think open source contributor, and this is a little bit of a sample bias because we're all here at Linux Conference, but nevertheless, how many people think of a contributor as someone like me, like big and hairy and like scooped over a keyboard 24 hours a day, something like that? Yeah, right? Those are open source contributors. No, an open source contributor is this. This is all an open source contributor is. It's somebody who sees something and says, that's dumb. They want to see that thing fixed, and they can actually do something about it. Those are the people that power open source software. It's one thing to see that something is dumb and then feel powerless to do anything about it. It's another thing to see that something is dumb and be like, yeah, but that's not my problem. But the people who sort of match in that middle section there, those are the people that actually drive open source forward. And doing something about it can be a number of different things, which we'll get into later, but it definitely isn't just code. Another perception is you have to be this smart to contribute to open source. How many people think that? That everybody who's involved in open source is this frickin' genius person who's got a brain the size of a melon, right? I certainly thought that, right? Yeah. No, because open source actually operates on this whole wisdom of crowds type of deal. So basically, you just got a whole bunch of people, and they all contribute what they know. And somebody might know databases really well, and somebody might know English really well, and whatever, but we all work together to make the software the best that it could possibly be. And another important point here is the more diversity you have in that open source project, the better the project is. If some open source project is written primarily by white males in their 30s who like soccer a whole lot, it probably doesn't cater to, you know, the person from Uruguay who is into, like, knitting. I'm just guessing here, you know. How improvements are made. This is my stab at animation. I don't think I'm going to top Lara's, but we'll see. So how many people think that this is how open source improvements are made? You've got Gina the genius, right, over here, and her brain is the size of a watermelon, right, because she's so smart. She just is, like, you know, sitting there reading her Linux manual or whatever she's doing that day. And she just thinks of this brilliant idea, just comes to her. And she's like, great, I'm just going to sit down and write some beautiful code, and it's just going to come flying from my fingers like wonderful smoke. And everyone's going to go, wow, amazing, that is your best work yet. How many people think this is how open source contribution happens? Okay? No. This is how open source contribution happens. You've got Edwina, the end user. She's really, really angry because she just found a bug. So she goes to the issue queue, which is an issue tracker kind of thing where open source, you know, people collaborate, and she files a bug report. Sometime later, Paula the programmer is working away on whatever she's doing, and she thinks to herself, oh, I just found a stupid bug. Well, let me go check the issue queue. And she goes, hey, look, there's a bug report in there. Well, that's great. I'm going to just sit down and I'm going to try and fix that. So she'll post a patch or whatever the workflow is in the different community. She'll post some sort of code up there to actually fix the problem. Then Tatiana the tester comes in, and she looks at Paula's code, and she's like, what the heck is that? Oops, I went too fast. Ah! Oh, no! Oh, jeez. I'm very sorry. I'll hit next a whole lot, and hopefully it'll get back to where we were. See, this is the bad side, the bad thing about doing animations in Keynote, because it really doesn't work. Okay, so she looks at her code and says, what? I don't understand that at all. Well, what she does is she posts some feedback. She says, okay, your variable names are all wrong. You got to fix your indentation. This subroutine doesn't make any sense. And when I click this button, it blows up. And she marks it as a review and basically tells Paula, okay, that's cool, but that still needed work. So she goes, okay, great. I'm going to try again. Let's try this. And I fixed everything you said. What do you think about that? And then Wendy, the poor soul who's still stuck on Windows XP, she sees this little patch and she tests it and she goes, that's great, except it breaks in IE6, because doesn't everything break in IE6? And also mind your spelling, because, you know, the reason she's stuck on XP is because she has to use Microsoft Word to write a book. Or a manual, perhaps. So she posts another review and says, you know, this, and Paula's like, okay, I got it this time, let's try this. She posts another patch, and then Tatiana takes a look, and she's like, oh, that's great, that looks much better than it did before, and she marks it, ship it. So you see, the whole process happens because of this collaboration by people who each bring something to the table. Yeah. Edwina, well, Edwina is important, though, because she was the one who actually found the bug in the first place and actually posted an issue about it. Because, and Paula found the bug as well, but it's really neat to get the end user's perspective, because if an end user is coming in and giving you a bug report, you know that that's something that's being encountered in the field, as well as some esoteric thing that only the programmers are running into. I agree, but that doesn't really tend to happen. And another thing I've witnessed is that end users don't tend to come back ever again to see how their issues are tracking and stuff like that. But yeah, in theory, there are email notifications being sent to Edwina every single time one of these things happens. And then she can come back in and be like, oh, that fixed my problem. So that's a sunshiny place that I hope that all open source projects can be, but that isn't always the case. What qualifies as contribution? A lot of people think that code qualifies as contribution. No. My standpoint is in any open source project worth their weight in anything, these count as contributions as well. Because everything on this list is incredibly important to shipping a product that actually works for people and that can actually get something done. So things like donations to help keep the infrastructure going. Things like advocacy, like talking to people about this project, getting them really excited, which can bring on new contributors. Documentation, of course, is important. Everything that Laura just said. Marketing, I know I hate marketing, but you know, some people are into that, and that's cool. No, I'm just kidding. But marketing is important because it reaches a certain demographic that, you know, geeks on their own can't tend to reach. User support, another really important thing. If you try to use a software, you get stuck, you can't find the answer you need in the manual, the first place you're going to go is the forums or IRC or something, and if there's no one there to help you, you're going to move elsewhere. So having a strong user support base is important. Testing, translations, graphic design, coordinating local events, sprints, and bug fixes, and all this kind of stuff. All of these things all lead up to a really healthy open source project. Oh yeah, and also code. That helps too. So how to get started? First, you should find a project that interests you. And there's limitless numbers of projects out there that each specialize in different things. If you're into, you know, graphic design and animation and stuff like that, you can find an open source project that powers that. If you're into blogging, you can find an open source project that powers that. If you're into browsing the web, you can find an open source project that powers that. I also encourage you to try out Drupal because, you know, hey, just saying. Find out what resources are available in that community. So things like documentation, mailing lists, forums, wikis, working groups, IRC channels, the planet type of thing, which is like an aggregation of what people are working on. You know, take the time to really like sort of scope out what's happening in the community, get a feel for sort of the, you know, energy in the community and sort of their philosophy and stuff. Also look for a local community. That's also really a nice thing to do. Okay. That will help you to sort of put a face to the project. I mean, a big thing, I remember the first time I met someone in person who knew what Drupal was without looking at me like I had eight heads was like a mind-blowing experience, you know. And it's similar with Linux or anything else that you do. It's really important to find people in your local community who already know this stuff, and they can help mentor you along, and they can show you specific things that, you know, are good to get into. When you first get into an open source community, I recommend that you lurk first and sort of evaluate the community, kind of see if it's a good fit, see how they treat new people, see how they, you know, sort of interact with, you know, what their workflows are, see if their philosophies, their project management philosophies align with yours. A really great way to do this is to hang out in the support channel and do what you can to try and answer other people's questions, because you'll learn a hell of a lot in a very short period of time. And you'll also sort of get to know what sort of, you know, community is like, how helpful they are with other people. And you'll also make friends, which is really important when you're first getting your sea legs. Learn the tools of the trade, stuff like community guidelines, documentation and coding standards, knowledge management system, issue tracking, version control, building, everything that people previous to me have been talking about. All those kinds of things are really important. Find out how the community gets stuff done and teach yourself how to get into that space. And the other thing in the community guidelines thing is try and learn ahead of time before you trip over your own feet. What are some of like the community flashpoint type of things? Because there's certain topics that if you bring up are just going to cause a holy hell of a flame war. Like, for instance, don't ever come to the Drupal community and ask why we're still using CVS. We know we're trying. Come on, people. You know, stuff like that. Just try and learn that just so, because you don't want your first big step in the community just accidentally be on a landmine and blow your leg off. So stuff like that. I just want to leave you with this slide, or well, a couple more slides. But basically, this will give you some idea of how rare it is to find somebody who gets into that intersection here. So these are some random statistics I pulled from the Drupal project, because I have access to the database and I can. So when we analyzed like all the hits, and this was within a year, 99.63% of users downloaded the software and we never heard from them again. Ever. Which I think is what most people do. I mean, I downloaded Firefox I don't know how many times, and I think I've reported one bug report ever. You know, as much as that's a fundamental part of my daily life, I just didn't ever engage with that community at all. The 0.32% registered an account. So they cared enough to register an account to do whatever with it. They wanted to post a support request or a patch or whatever they wanted to do. And 0.05, so very small number of people did something with it. Like they actually did something. They posted a patch or they whatever. So we're talking about like a tiny sliver of humanity that actually drives any given open source project forward. And if you are contributing as early and often as possible, you sort of stick your neck out there and you're like, hey, I'm one of that 0.05%. I want to help this project succeed. And you will instantly find that people treat you differently. And this isn't an insider's club kind of thing. It's merely a time management thing. You know, if I've got 3 minutes to do something that's not work, and I'm in the IRC channel, I see someone needs help, and it's someone I recognize because, that person wrote some really awesome documentation for whatever, I'm going to help them. And if I don't recognize your name, I probably won't unless I just have oodles of time available for some reason. So, you know, when you sort of acknowledge to the rest of the community that you are one of those people that wants to try and drive the project forward, you get better help, you get a lot more engagement with the rest of the people in the project, you learn a hell of a lot in a short period of time. So this would be my number one recommendation for, you know, sort of if you just found out you have to use WordPress at work, get involved in the community, because you will learn a tremendous amount in a very short period of time. And you can start today. So this is a shout out, and I don't know if Emma is in, yes, Emma's in the room. So Emma Jane, who's waving her hand around right there, there's a website called geekspeaker.com, which is a Drupal site, but that doesn't really matter. What it is it's a database of women technical speakers. So when people are having conferences like this, you know, they can actually ask technical women like us who do this stuff, you know, all the time, to come and speak so that it's not just like a big sausage fest, which is cool. But the site is having some problems, and so Emma is going to gather a cabal of people to work on this, and I think it involves some site migration. It probably involves some upgrading stuff. It probably involves like some Linux-y kind of stuff. So if you think that might be cool to sort of learn some of that stuff and you want to help it for a good cause, then talk to Emma, and later today we're going to do some sort of a fixgeekspeaker.com party. So. That would probably be great. Docs. Any questions? That's the last slide I have. And I have, like, I don't know, 3 minutes or something. So anybody, like, any or anecdotes of your first experiences in open source or anything else that you'd care to share with the rest of the folks or anything like that? Yeah, in the back.
Because 99% of those questions can be answered with a simple Google.
Yeah.
So people just forget to search for themselves.
Yeah, he said that one of the easiest ways to help out other people in the support channels is just use Google. If you know how to use Google, you already know more than somebody else out there. That's the mind-blowing thing. If you have used Google successfully to find an answer to anything, you know more than someone else. If you've installed whatever program or that kind of thing, you know more than someone else. If you've ever, like, you know, programmed a line of code in your life, you know more than someone else. So you can always, always find some way to help other people and to get your foot in the door of any kind of open source community. I guess I have lots of time. I have 5 minutes, so we can just talk and talk. I was trying to go through that really fast so that we, you know, but yeah. So, anyone else? I was getting a very awkward 5 minutes, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Thanks.
I guess I found as I get my feet wet on projects that it really helps to approach it sort of like a class. So what you said about scoping out all the resources, I keep advising people to do, like really look at everything, write it all down, print out stuff, like make a binder, make it sort of like a course that you're taking and educate yourself that way.
That's really helpful. Yeah, that's a really good idea. The other thing that's a good idea is where you find gaps in the documentation, and you will. Because for the most, you know, not all open source projects are Red Hat, and they don't have, you know, someone very smart at the helm who's guiding the whole documentation effort. So a lot of times, open source documentation is just written by people who want to help, and they had to figure something out, and so they wrote it up that way. But like a really great way to both, you know, get your head into that space and also help other people is like if you couldn't figure something out, and you had to like go ask a bunch of questions and stuff. Document it, you know, write or improve the existing documentation so that it answers the questions that you had when you went in there. Because it's always, editing documentation is always much easier than writing it for the first time. So if they've got a page that's just written to like this, and if it's like, man, if that had like this one extra sentence in there, that would have saved me 4 hours, then write the one extra sentence and, you know, see how that helps other people. So I think approaching it in a class is great because, you know, when you do that canvassing of resources, you're going to find gaps. And when you need to fill those gaps for yourself, which you're going to have to do anyway in order to sort of, you know, learn what you need to know, you know, that can be your first contribution is helping the documentation team to sort of, you know, manage that kind of stuff. That's how I got started. I mean, I for the very first time, the way Google Summer of Code works is you have to go from, you know, you have to code something in 2 months. And I had never used Drupal before Summer of Code. So I installed Drupal for the first time, I had to go from zero knowledge to 100% knowledge in 2 months. And the only way I was able to do that was by contributing and like jumping in and writing up documentation for things I didn't know, trying to help other people in IRC because that forced me to sort of learn it and all this kind of stuff. So that can also be sort of a great place to start if you're into that kind of thing. And I think I'm done, correct? Okay, thank you very much.